FBC Perspective, a podcast from First Baptist Church Kelowna.
Hello from First Baptist Church in Kelowna. This is Pastor Kevin Green. I'm your host, and I'd like to welcome you to our Perspectives podcast, where we talk about things that help us live better lives. Our guest today is Craig Trainer. Craig is a hospital chaplain. He works in hospice, and Craig has also spent many years being a pastor. Craig, I'd like to welcome you to our podcast. I'm really glad to have you here today.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm sure you've seen your share of grief in your line of work, and it seems like it's probably present with you at all times. And I wonder if we can start with you telling us a bit about what you do, and then I think we'd really like to hear about grief that we might be all feeling during this pandemic, or at least the implications the pandemic has on grieving.
Sounds like a plan. That's good. Thank you. I work as a chaplain in the healthcare system, and my main position is being a chaplain in a hospice. For those of you who may not know what that means, a hospice is a place for patients who are at the or near the end of life. So a hospice does not involve any active treatment, but would involve comfort care only for the residents who are there. And I'm a chaplain in a hospice. I also work sometimes in an acute care hospital setting with patients that are being treated for various things as well. So being a chaplain in healthcare involves being available for residents and patients and for staff and for family members to journey with them through their pain and their suffering, to being present and companioning them, particularly in their low points. Craig, so that's a bit of my role there as a chaplain.
Craig, most people I feel like have an impulse to run away from grief and pain and death and things like that, yet you go towards it in your job. I wonder what you like about it.
Well, I really like being with people and engaging at those deeper levels. It's not something that's comfortable for a lot of people to go to those places like you shared. But I find that there's something really rich and deep about inviting those deeper conversations. And it's hard to be alone in those painful spaces. So it's good to have someone to companion you there. And that's one of the things I enjoy about it.
So you just go and you're like a presence for people while they're suffering and in pain.
That's a big part of it. Yeah.
So how much has changed, or has anything changed for you in your job during this pandemic? What's the situation like?
Well, I'm actually here in Edmonton, so it might be a little different in BC, but in Alberta, there are very strict regulations they've put in place. Probably the biggest thing that has happened is that they've restricted all visitors to long-term care and hospice settings. So I was at work today, 22 residents, all in their rooms, and they're not allowed to receive any visitors. No family can come in to see them. And for hospice patients who are palliative and near the end of their life, they're alone. So that's very, very difficult for not only for the residents and patients, but it's very difficult for the family members. So that's radically changed my work in the past week or two. I've spent a lot of time phoning family members, helping facilitate conversations. We've been trying to get set up with FaceTime so that they can at least do that. But it's been very difficult to not be able to have any visitors in our building.
So let me make sure I have this clear, because it sounds incredibly painful and lonely. Are you telling me that people who are about to die cannot see their family before they pass?
Right now, the regulations are that there are no visitors at all until a patient is actively dying. And so that would mean that they literally have hours left to live. And once a patient is kind of, it's determined that or assessed that they're actively dying, family members are allowed to come in to the room one at a time.
So how has that increased the pressure on you as a chaplain?
Well, I think that it just adds a whole new layer of emotion and painful experience for family members, because they're cut off from their loved ones. People need to see and talk to and touch and hug. They can't do that right now. So for me to journey alongside family members when they're not allowed in our facility is very difficult.
So what other ways do you see this pandemic, this coronavirus, affecting the general public maybe with grief?
Well, I guess maybe backing up a little bit, I was going to mention one of the things about grief that I encounter regularly is something called anticipatory grief. And that's defined as an experience someone goes through when they know something's about to happen that they have no control over, and they're anticipating a loss in their life. So, you know, I think there's a lot of uncertainty right now, certainly in the healthcare setting with patients, with residents and with staff. There's a lot of uncertainty. Will COVID come to our facility? Will there be an outbreak? Will I catch it? Will I spread it? And I think that that same uncertainty is prevalent in our culture, which brings a lot of stress, and people are anticipating what might happen, but they're not sure what that would be. So that brings a lot of stress, that brings anxiety. And I kind of think it brings something called anticipatory grief as well. They're anticipating that they're going to be losing something. And actually, I think one of the big things people are afraid that they're going to lose is their normal way of living, their normal way of life. They've already experienced some of that, and more is probably yet to come. They don't know what that looks like. We've probably all heard people talk about returning back to normal. And now we're just starting to hear people say, well, what's normal going to look like? Maybe we don't want to return back to what's normal. And so things are really changing in people's lives. And that's really difficult.
So this anticipatory grief, it sounds like you're saying that a lot of us actually might be experiencing this right now. How would we know? Are there signs of that? Like, are there telltale signs that we're suffering from this type of grief?
I would say so. I think that if you're experiencing emotions that you wouldn't normally experience, that might come up suddenly for you, that are you're not anticipating, you suddenly feel sad for some reason or anxious. These are all very normal things for people to go through when they're experiencing grief. And when you're anticipating loss, or when you're experiencing loss, people have already experienced loss. Be aware and be attentive to your feelings and your emotions. I think that's a signal that you might be in a grief process.
So I'll be honest with you. I did look up a definition of grief before this, just to be a bit prepared. And what I saw was this, surprised me a bit. Grief is the response to loss. And because I think a lot of us just think of grief as a response to death and that kind of loss. But a lot of us actually might be experiencing loss in ways that we're not really processing are aware of. I mean, very insignificant, but just this morning I said to Cindy, I sure miss going to the coffee shop. Like yeah. There's all these things that add up that we've lost.
Yeah. I think that people in my line of work are losing their lives. That's a big one with this pandemic. There's a lot of loss of life, but you're absolutely right. Loss of jobs. People have lost their jobs. They've been laid off and there's a lot of uncertainty there. Loss of connection with family. This was Easter weekend and a lot of people spent it alone. And they've experienced loss in that way, loss of just being able to live your normal life, layers and layers of loss for sure. And you're right. If you look up grief in a library, it would almost always be connected with the word loss.
Yeah. So how does grief affect us physically, or does it affect us physically?
Yes, I think so. I think that would be another signal that you're experiencing grief. I talked about how you should be aware of your emotions, but you know, people that are in a process of grief manifest that physically too. So a physical manifestation of grief might look like a loss of sleep, loss of appetite. Family members that are experiencing grief in my hospice setting, I have to remind them to eat because they forget. They don't think about eating. And so eating healthy food. Your health and well-being are closely tied to grief for sure.
So how is grief different from just being sad, or is it different from being sad?
I would say that sadness is one of the emotions that can signal that you're grieving the loss of something. So, you know, they would be connected, but somebody can be sad for various reasons, and somebody can be sad, apart from experiencing grief, but, certainly sadness would be a part of the experience of grief for sure.
So you talked about being attentive. So we should be attentive to feelings of sadness that are maybe unusual for us. What are some steps we can take to deal with grief if we feel like we might be experiencing some sense of loss right now that we don't necessarily understand?
I always encourage family members who are grieving to reach out to loved ones, find community, access their sources of strength. So things that help build them up, things that get them through their day, what we try to identify what those things are. Sometimes it's connection with people. Sometimes it's exercise. It can be work, not necessarily, but what are their sources of strength? What are their connectors? And instead of isolating, becoming more connected to help through the process of grief. And I also recommend and try to encourage people to talk about it, not in a way that's forced or pressured. That's not necessarily helpful, but find someone that people trust, that they know, that will be a good listener. Sometimes I've found people have tried to talk about their experience of grief, and that hasn't gone well for them. And so they shut down and don't talk about it. And I encourage them to try again, but find someone that's a helpful listener that they can trust, that cares about them, that loves them, and talk about it. And I sometimes say talking about it gets it out of your head and out of your heart, and talking through it like that is a helpful thing. Or sometimes for people, journaling helps, writing it out. Things like that help process your grief.
I think it's really helpful to understand grief as a sense of loss of something. And I wonder, like you talked about being aware of where you're at. I think one of the issues with grief for some of us might be thinking that our grief isn't significant. And comparing it with others maybe isn't a good thing to do. Do you have any thoughts about that?
I've said to people that and I think this is true because I've observed this and I've read about it too, that everybody grieves differently. So you can read books about the stages of grief, and there's probably some real benefit to that. But sometimes people have found looking at like a chart showing stages of grief not being helpful because they can't find where they are.
Right.
And they don't understand why they haven't moved beyond the stages of grief from one stage to the next in a very linear way. Mm. And for some people, it can be that way. But everybody grieves differently. And it's okay to acknowledge that. In one family, if somebody passes away, each family member will grieve in their own way and differently. And that's okay. So to give yourself permission to grieve and to go into those places that are difficult and painful, it's necessary to do in order to come through to a place of health, I think.
You know, one of my thoughts as a pastor through this whole thing has been not really knowing what to do if someone passes away. And I wonder if you have any thoughts around that as far as how can we support people without being present physically? And what does it look like now in this new, hopefully very temporary reality?
Right. Yeah. I think it's with this COVID reality, being there for people is incredibly difficult. I've been involved with some Skype calls with chaplains across Alberta talking about ways that we can be chaplaining where through distance, and creative new ways to reach out to people. That's really, really difficult. But it is important to be there for people. I've found that when people experience a loss, often part of their grief journey is encountering people that are friends or family members that say things that aren't very helpful for them. Like, oh, you'll get through this. Or, you know, there's these kind of catchphrase things you say to someone at a funeral.
Right.
That,
like the silver lining statements.
Yeah, he's in a better place now, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. So if we're going to be there for people in their grief, be a listener and be present, be available, and try to avoid those just pat answers, because I don't think that those are necessarily helpful. They might be more harmful than anything else.
So, I mean, we can't be fully present, I guess. I mean, what is happening in funerals right now?
Oh yeah, that's painful too. There's right now there are regulations in Alberta where people are not allowed to have funerals. So that's been, I've kind of journeyed with a couple of families in the past 2 weeks around that issue. And what I've encouraged people to do is find something, because funerals or memorial services are significant pieces to the grief process. They're moments of closure, of saying goodbye, of being in community. So I encourage people, find some sort of ritual, a moment in space and time where you can be with one other person perhaps, or be in a sacred place where you remember them, light a candle, say a prayer, even something very short and simple, something that you can remember them by. That's what I've encouraged people to do for funerals. And then some people are just waiting for this to all pass, and then they'll have a funeral after the fact.
So Craig, I know you love your job, and I'm going to maybe put you on the spot here with this question.
Okay.
What do you love most about being a chaplain and being present for people in their grief?
I guess my ministry experience has been in chaplaincy, but also in pastoral work. So I've loved both. But in my shift towards chaplaincy, what I've really loved most about it, I think, is that in hospitals or in hospice, you will always find people that need to talk, that are in crisis. That's a place where people are wounded and hurt. and need somebody to come alongside them and listen to them and journey with them through their pain. So it's a very real need. And that's often in hospitals, people are asking theological, real theological questions that they've never really asked before, but they're in this time of crisis where they're facing perhaps life or death or a real significant health crisis, that these questions bubble up to the surface and they become real raw and real. And those are sacred spaces to be in. And I find great reward and meaning in being able to be there for them.
So how do you deal with that burden yourself? Like when you come home from work, what do you carry that with you, or do you find that you can leave it behind?
I guess I find that a lot of that work fills me up, but I'm aware that I need my own self-care practices to be in place. And I also need some good healthy boundaries too. So it's difficult at times. I try to spend time with my family, with my kids, in practicing self-care. I like to play guitar and sing and be creative with art. And that sort of stuff is self-care for me as well.
So I know that all of us, I'm sure, have someone in our lives that is grieving right now.
Yes.
And I wonder if you have any thoughts about how we should be reaching out towards them or engaging with them while they're grieving. Just some tips for us.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I would say at some level, probably every person is grieving something.
Yeah.
Every person. So you can really kind of normalize it out in culture. Every person you encounter is going through some sort of grief process, whether it's from a long time ago or something very minor or small. But I think that being kind to people, every person you encounter, they're facing and going through something painful and they're grieving the loss of something. So be kind towards them. You don't know what they're facing and why they might be reacting a certain way. But if you're aware that someone's grieving the loss of a loved one or something like that, then reach out to them at a time when you feel like you have this time and space to be there for them, to listen and to be present. And don't just give pat answers, but listen to them and let them know that you're thinking about them and be available if they need to talk.
So Craig, is there anything positive about grief?
Absolutely. I think that grief is a necessary process to go through to come to a place of greater health. And I think that grief, going through grief, brings us to a place of strength as well. You know, kind of like exercise. When you exercise, your muscles get hurt and stretched and torn, but all of that for the good purpose of being built up and strengthened. Through pain and suffering and sorrow, we come through to a place of joy and wholeness and healing. I've seen families come together in remarkable ways in relationship with each other because they've been able to support each other through their grief. Mm. So relationships can be renewed and restored and strengthened. People can become more emotionally healthy as well because they're more aware of what they're going through emotionally when they go through grief, things like that.
Do you have any final thoughts for us?
Maybe one final thought. I know this is mostly for your church community to, but my other thought was to just share the fact that Jesus grieved as well. So that when we are in our process of grief or when we're experiencing loss, Jesus experienced loss too. He experienced the loss of Lazarus and he wept. And so
right.
When people find that they're going through grief and they're weeping, you can know that Jesus is with you because he experienced something similar. There's really no place you can go where Jesus hasn't been there too. And he came to a place of health as well because he went through grief.
Well, Craig, I want to thank you for just being so transparent and open and talking to us about grief and a bit of a window into your life and how you interact with grief often, maybe even daily. So thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thanks, Kevin. I appreciate it. Hello to your whole church community.
Hey, so thank you for listening. I hope you feel better equipped to deal with life than you did before. And it's been great to talk about things that help us live better lives. I look forward to connecting with you on our next podcast. Until next time, keep the faith and live in hope.
Thank you so much for listening. Please subscribe so that you can catch all our future episodes. You can search for us as FBC Perspective on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.